Wednesday, February 26, 2025, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope you're having a good week. Hope everything in your world is going well. Hope you, your family, your friends, everyone's staying strong, and everyone is staying healthy right now. And hey, I know that we no longer have football. Let's be honest. This last weekend, yeah, it was a little slow, wasn't it? I mean, for me personally, I watched some high school hoops. I watched a lot of college basketball. I watched a little bit of NHL. The NBA was also going on, I think. But you know, if you are really jonesing for football, I have got some great news for you. That's right, kids. Because the NFL Combine begins this week in Indianapolis, and that is where this year's NFL draft prospects will be put through the most practical drills and tests to let us know whether or not these guys can play true professional football. And I'm talking modern drills, like running around traffic cones and catching medicine balls. I think they box a kangaroo at one point. This is how we tell if these players who have been playing football can play football. Not watching them play football. No, that won't work. Instead, we'd rather measure how fast they can, I don't know, kayak, or if they can pull a car with a rope in their teeth or something. How accurate is the NFL Combine? Well, I mean, remember, it has given us such NFL greats like Mike Mamula, Vernon Golston, and Don Terry Poe, all of whom performed really well at the NFL Combine. And then, yes, you guessed it, we never really heard from them again. But hey, if you are dying for some football, the NFL Combine does begin this week. And, you know, when you watch those Underwear Olympics, you'll get done and you'll still be dying for some football because that is not football. And also, you might need like a Silkwood shower afterwards because it's all kind of gross and stupid.
It is embarrassing!
Hey, remember, you should be stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week. Check in on the new things that we have going on over there. We have links to podcasts. We have links to new articles each week. I did post an article this week. White House might be getting involved in the NBA a little bit. And we do also have links to Daily Dose gear over there. Maybe you need a Daily Dose t-shirt, a sweatshirt, a hoodie, a baseball cap. We've got links over there that you can find. Also, you can always email the podcast at dailydosesports@gmail.com. We hear from listeners regularly. Some of it's good, some of it's not so good, but you can email the podcast. If it's good enough, we might end up reading it here on The Dose. We have had those in the past, so feel free to reach out. Hey, today on The Dose, you know, we have been so football heavy over the past few weeks, over the past even few months, between the college football playoff and the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl, we haven't really had much time for anything else. And maybe you are predominantly a football fan. Cool, but what about like college hoops? Hey, March Madness is coming quickly. What about the NBA? What about even the NHL? Yeah, well, today we'll be catching you up on a few things. But first, we have a couple of items I want to touch on in sports news. Hey, congrats to America's hat as Canada defeated the United States 3-2 last week to win the first Four Nations All-Star Tournament that was a booming success for the NHL. Edmonton Oilers superstar Connor McDavid blasted a shot into the back of the net in overtime in what was a thrilling championship game and a really exciting tournament. And Colorado Avalanche sniper Nathan MacKinnon was named the most valuable player of the tournament after leading all players with 4 goals. Sure, Canada hasn't won a Stanley Cup since the Dallas Cowboys were winning anything of significance, but they are winning those international competitions. And I mean, that is something, right?
Why? Why do we let you be a country?
But maybe more importantly, was the fact that this tournament was hugely successful for the NHL. The championship game pulled 10 million viewers. Hey kids, that's about 10 million more viewers than the NBA All-Star game got. I mean, hockey kind of taking a step up. Hockey getting some views. I don't know. Trump gets elected and a sport featuring white guys wearing masks and swinging sticks is suddenly on the rise. Go figure. Moving over to the NBA, it was announced that Milwaukee Bucks forward Bobby Portis would be suspended for 25 games last week for violating the league's anti-drug policy. A ban, I might add, that sidelines him for the majority of the rest of the season. Now, Portis tested positive for the drug Tramadol, a medication that is used to treat severe pain in adults. It is an instance that his representative, Mark Bartlestein of Priority Sports, said was an accident. I know you're shocked, right? It was an accident. That's what he says. Here's what he had to say. I am devastated for Bobby right now because he made an honest mistake and the ramifications of it are incredibly significant. Bartlestein went on. Bobby unintentionally took a pain medication called Tramadol, thinking he was taking a pain medication called Toradol. Toradol is an approved pain medication that he has used previously and that teams and players use for pain and inflammation at times. Tramadol, however, is not an approved pain medication and was just recently added to the banned substance list this past spring. The Tramadol pill he took came from an assistant of his who had a valid prescription for the painkiller, but he mistakenly told Bobby it was Toradol. Okay, let's get a couple things on the table. First off, if you're getting paid millions of dollars, and the only thing you have to watch out for is to not take certain medications, I would go ahead and assume that I know every medication backward, forward. I tell all my people, hey, here are the medications backward, forward, and I don't take anything until I check it myself. That's just me. I know these guys aren't always that good, but you know what? Again, just once. I want to hear somebody own up to it. I don't want to hear a mistake. Oh, it was tainted beef. Oh, I thought it was Tramadol. Instead, it was Toradol. I just want somebody to own it. I want somebody to step up and go, hey, look, I know it was illegal, but I heard that taking cheetah blood makes you faster. So, hey, I snorted a few lines of it. My bad. No, it's always an accident. It's always, oh, I thought I was taking this. Oh, I thought it was just steak. It turned out to be some sort of tainted beef that, I don't know, red positive for cocaine in my blood. Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? And here's the other problem I have with it. For the season, Bobby Portis has averaged 13 points and 8 rebounds in 46 games. Shouldn't taking performance-enhancing drugs make your performance better? Hey, I'm old enough to remember back when Ben Johnson was at the Olympics, the sprinter, and his eyes were the bright yellow of a New York taxi cab. But hey, at least the guy won. At least he was going out and dominating. 13 points? Bobby Portis, cheap better, bro. Although I will give him this. It does explain his big googly eyes. Okay, so like I said, we have been very football heavy lately on the Dose. Never fear, because while football is now over, we are going to catch you up on what else is going on out in the sports world right now. The NBA is boring and horrible. College hoops is wide open, and we are coming down the stretch in it. And the NHL is way more exciting than people think it is. But right now, we are going to give you our Daily Dose Power Rankings.
Daily Dose Power Rankings.
And let's start in the NBA, where, like I said, we have seen a pretty boring season, complete with stars just sitting out for no reason whatsoever. And for that reason, it's kind of hard to gauge where teams truly stand, because we don't really see teams give any effort whatsoever. But right now, here are our top five teams in the NBA. And starting out at number five, I could go with Memphis. I could even go maybe with the Los Angeles Lakers here if either one of these teams was more consistent. And I will say this, if the Lakers do get rolling, they could make the playoffs very, very interesting. Because if they get in at like a four seed, yeah, they're going to be facing a top, like, number one seed very early. But I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to place the New York Knicks at number five. Hey, if the Knicks can stay healthy, They're going to be a very tough out in the playoffs. If they get Mitchell Robinson back, that's going to shore up their defense. Here is the concern. Given the amount of stress that head coach Tom Thibodeau puts on his starters, staying healthy is a big challenge. The New York Knicks starting lineup has played 806 minutes so far. That is 278 more minutes than any other starting lineup in the entire league. So we're probably going to see these guys break down as we come down the stretch. But if Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, and Mikal Bridges can stay healthy, yeah, the Knicks are going to be a pain. The only other drawback I have is I don't know if they can actually beat the other top teams in the Eastern Conference. They haven't shown well against the best teams, but they're beating the average and below teams. And for that reason, they could advance a little bit in the playoffs, at least until they face a big dog. I'll place the Knicks at number 5. Up next at number 4, and this might sound like a homer pick, but it really isn't. Nikola Jokic is probably going to lose the MVP honors to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Oklahoma City Thunder, but this might actually be the best season of his career. And for that reason, I will place the Denver Nuggets at number 4. Now, here's a question I have. Are sports people really ready to talk about Jokic as a top 10 player of all time? I'm sure they're not. But we've got a great argument for it. I mean, look at what he's done. He's won a title. He's won MVPs. He's absolutely rewriting the record book. I mean, you might have to elevate him up into the top 10. And yet, as great as Jokic has been this year, the key for the Nuggets to me has been the re-emergence of guard Jamal Murray. You know, Murray looked fat and sloppy to start the season, but he's been finding his game again. And if he does get back to form, I mean, we all remember what the Nuggets did last time. Jamal Murray was actually stepping up and helping Jokic consistently every night. The Nuggets are still going to be a pain this year. Nikola Jokic can cause a lot of matchup problems, and for that reason, I'm going to place the Denver Nuggets at number 4. At number 3, and this might be too low, but we'll see. I'm going to make the Cleveland Cavaliers my number 3 team in the NBA right now. Hey, the Cavs have been magnificent all year. They responded to a 3-game losing streak at the end of January by winning 7 of 8 games going into the All-Star break. Evan Mobley is absolutely living up to his potential. And here's the thing about the Cavaliers. They're really efficient. They're the only team in the league that ranks in the top 5 in field goal percentage in the paint, mid-range field goal percentage, and three-point percentage. Here's the bad news. The Cleveland Cavaliers have played the league's easiest schedule as far as cumulative opponent winning percentage. So I worry about them a little bit when they face the big dogs. And I worry about them in a 7-game series against the top teams. Cleveland looks really, really good. Could they beat a top team in a 7-game series? That I'm not so sure about. So I'll place Cleveland at number 3. Next up at 2, I will put the defending champion Boston Celtics. Hey, the Celtics haven't quite hit the heights of their dominant championship team from a year ago. And yet, they're still a top-flight title contender. And they might even be considered the favorite because they've done it before. And while no, they haven't looked like last year, they do seem to be warming up. The Celtics are the only team that ranks in the top 5 at both ends of the floor. And they have proven more than capable of beating the other top teams in their conference. They have whooped Cleveland. They have whooped the Knicks. And if they continue in their current direction, yeah, the Boston Celtics are the class of the Eastern Conference, and they might still be the class of the NBA. But I'm going to place them at number 2. So, at number 1 is the team that has looked to me like the most consistently strong all year, and that is the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder are the most complete team in the NBA, and right now it doesn't look that close. Here's the biggest problem for the Thunder. It's not another team. It's not someone else coming in and beating them. Instead, it's their own inexperience. This team hasn't been here before. They're a bunch of young guys. But the Thunder have outscored their opponents by 13 points a game, which would be the best point differential in NBA history passing the 71-72 Lakers. That team rolled to a title in five games. Hey, no question. Oklahoma City has been dominant. They take care of the ball. They don't beat themselves. They're going to have to prove it in the postseason. But the Oklahoma City Thunder are the number one team in the NBA, at least right now. Okay, so let's move over to the world of hockey. And I know we don't talk a ton of hockey, but we're going to brush on it a little bit today because teams are getting back from what was that exciting All-Star break. Here's the downside. A lot of really good players expended a ton of effort in that Four Nations tournament, and some of them even got injured. So these rankings could change drastically because of injuries and just general attrition. But right now, here are our top five teams in the NHL. Starting off at number five, I will place the Carolina Hurricanes. The Mikko Rantanen trade was so big that I think the NBA actually got jealous and then had to, you know, orchestrate that Luka Doncic to the Lakers trade because they couldn't let hockey have their moment. But the Hurricanes are improving their offensive firepower, and that is something they need to pick up if they're going to make a run at the Cup. The problem right now is that that trade, it's taking a little time to truly gel. So far, Mikko Rantanen has just one goal and one assist in his first six games as a Hurricane. That's got to get a lot better. And for that reason, I will leave them at number five, but they could climb all the way up. Carolina is loaded. At number four, I will place the Edmonton Oilers. They entered the break with the third most points in the NHL, despite, as of lately, right up to that All-Star break, they were struggling a little bit. But that Pacific division is tight. The Oilers are just ahead of the Golden Knights, but Edmonton has the upper hand. Hey, Evan Bouchard, Connor McDavid, that is such a deadly combo. And it's not just them. Leon Draisaitl already has 40 goals this year. Hey, Edmonton brings a ton of firepower. I will place them at number four. The Dallas Stars are my number three team, and they could be higher, but they've got a lot of injuries to deal with right now. They are the second place team in the Central Division, but the Stars kind of look like they're building something big. The Dallas Stars have an impressive positive 43 in goal differential. And when that postseason comes, yeah, Dallas is going to be a load. I know they're in second, but it's because they're in a really good division. And I'm telling you right now, Dallas might be a sneaky team to watch as we get into the postseason. I'll place them at number three. The top team in the Western Conference and our number two team was actually very well represented at the Four Nations Tournament. And that, of course, is the Winnipeg Jets. Their star goalie, Connor Hellebuyck, was very good despite coming up short in that final. But he's having another amazing year. He's guiding the Jets to a really impressive record. Winnipeg has a positive 69-point differential. They are the best team in the West. And here's what's scarier. The Jets actually have a little bit of room cap-wise. They could be looking to make some moves before the trade deadline on March 7th. Hey, Winnipeg could actually get better. They're really good right now. What if they went out and added a little bit more? It's kind of scary. I'll put Winnipeg at number two. So we reach our number one NHL team, at least right now. And that is the Washington Capitals. You know, the best part about that Four Nations face-off break for the Capitals was they didn't have anyone in it. Their entire roster got two full weeks off in the middle of the season. That is a huge advantage because they were banged up. Add to that fact, Alex Ovechkin's four-game goal streak ended in the team's final game prior to the break, and the 39-year-old has 27 more games to score those 16 goals he needs to pass Wayne Gretzky to become the NHL's all-time leading goal scorer. Well, that might not seem like much, but it could keep the Caps playing hard despite having a huge lead in the Eastern Conference. Hey, coming out of the break, the Washington Capitals are healthy, and they are gunning for a Stanley Cup. Okay, both the NBA and NHL, they've got like 20 to 25 games left in the regular season. And then those playoffs start. And those playoffs are a grind in both of those leagues. We will see which teams can get on a roll, which teams can stay healthy, and which teams will be hitting their peak as those playoffs get here. Okay, so let's finish off our Daily Dose Power Rankings this week in the world of college basketball. You know, it's funny because we don't love college hoops in this country for the most part until March. And then we all become experts, right? We're filling out our brackets. We're telling people at work who has more quadrant one wins and who has the better resume. But we don't really start focusing until maybe like rivalry week, unless you're just a college hoops junkie. Well, fortunately, I am a college hoops junkie. So right now, I will give you my Daily Dose college basketball rankings. Here are my top five teams in the country, at least right now. Remember, this can all change at any second. And remember, only four teams are going to get a number one seed. I will start off at number five, and I will start in the Southeastern Conference. And you're going to notice a trend, because the SEC is absolutely loaded this year. At number five is an SEC team that is actually coming off of a very tough loss last night, but it's a prime example of how dangerous they can be and also how they could fail. Yes, the Florida Gators lost to Georgia on the road last night, but they were down like 20 and they kept coming back. They even took the lead at one point. And do not forget that the Gators have faced the number one team in the country twice this year. And in both games, they blew the number one team out. And the Gators have been battling health issues for a good portion of the season. Big man Alex Condon's injury, well, it kind of came at a difficult time because Florida was going through their conference schedule and he was poised to become one of the SEC's most dominant front court players, it looked like. But it did also allow Florida's other backup bigs to play some key minutes. And they played pretty well. That could give Florida some much needed depth down the stretch and into the tournament. Condon is now back. And when you have him and guard Walter Clayton Jr. and Will Richards shooting the ball, hey, Florida just goes out and puts up 80, 90 points and you're going to have to score more. I worry about that defense, but Florida is very dangerous. I've got them at number five. Moving on to number four. We reach another highly dangerous SEC team that can score points in bunches, and also their defense makes me a little nervous because the Alabama Crimson Tide offense, hey, it's as good as anyone in college basketball. They are capable of scoring 100 points at any time. I mean, you saw against Auburn, they were down big. Didn't matter. They kept coming back. The problem again for Alabama is that defense. And that defense has me a little bit worried. The Crimson Tide allowed 204 points in back-to-back losses to Auburn and Missouri. Like I said, they kept coming back. And they gave up at least 80 points in four straight games and in seven of their past nine games. That defense is scary. Their efficiency, it's dropping. However, when you have a guard like Mark Sears, hey, Alabama's never out of a game. They're just so explosive. We know in March Madness, you can have great bigs, and that's fine. But guards are going to win you tournament games. Alabama is very dangerous. I've got them at number four. Now, I struggled with our number three team because they just started the season so slow, but they've started to figure some things out. And the Houston Cougars come in today at number four. One huge boost for Kelvin Sampson's club would be if they can get guard Emmanuel Sharpe back to the form he was at before he had that ankle injury. Prior to getting hurt, Emmanuel Sharpe was scoring double figures in most every game. I think he put up double digits in 14 of 16 games. And then he went down with that ankle injury. He missed three games. And since coming back, you can tell he's struggling a little bit. He's favoring it a little bit. But if he can get back to full strength, it's going to give them a little bit of a boost offensively because we know Houston can play defense. They're going to press you. They're going to trap you. They're going to be in your face and give you a lot of pressure. When they get some offense going, yeah, Houston could be a big problem. They can be a big problem for anyone. They ran Kansas out of the gym. And I know Kansas this year isn't what they've been. They're still Kansas. They ran Iowa State out of the gym. They took care of number 10 Texas Tech on Monday night, and they kind of did it quietly and pretty easily. Hey, Houston, has rolled through the Big 12 this season. No, the Big 12 probably isn't what it has been, but it's still solid. And Houston has gone through it very, very easily. And for that reason, they are our number three team. At number two is a team that I am going to be very interested to watch this March. Because since the Duke Blue Devils lost to Clemson a few weeks ago, they have been on an absolute tear. They blew out Cal. They blew out Stanford. They blew out Virginia. They blew out a pretty solid Illinois team. They beat Miami last night pretty easily. Hey, super freshman Cooper Flagg, he has been every bit as good as advertised when he came out. But here's what's changing for Duke. The Blue Devils have started to develop a group around him. And again, a group of guards around him. They've got Konkanepo. They've got Tyrese Proctor. Now, there are a couple concerns I have for Duke. One, they lost forward Malik Brown to that shoulder injury, and he is out indefinitely. And you might look at that and say, well, big deal. Malik Brown wasn't scoring any points. No, but he was playing defense. And Duke is going to need someone to play defense, especially as we get into the tournament, especially as they get in even to their conference tournament. They need a guy like that. That's going to hurt. And then there's one other drawback I have with Duke. And I know this is going to kind of sound crazy when I say it, but I'm a little concerned about Duke's strength of schedule within their own conference. Because the ACC, it's not what we're used to it being. We're always just used to the ACC rolling out great teams. Hey, you've got Carolina. You've got Carolina State. You've got Virginia. You've got Georgia Tech. Yeah, it's not that great this year. And what I worry is that could come back to haunt Duke when they get into the tournament and they're facing quality competition in every single game. Having said that, there's no question. This Duke team is highly talented. And for that reason, I have them at number two. So for our final spot, at the number one spot is, yes, another SEC team. And that is the Auburn Tigers. Auburn winning at Alabama like a week or so ago, it felt like it basically clinched them the number one seed for the tournament. But I mean, Bruce Pearl's team is putting together maybe one of the best NCAA tournament resumes ever. Big man Jahni Broom is probably the best player in the country. And the Tigers have excellent guard play as well. They do still have some very tough games on the schedule. They've got to still play Kentucky and Texas A&M, but then they close the season out at home against Alabama. But I mean, think about this. The Tigers have already beaten 9 ranked teams. This team is tested. They are strong. Hey, it's kind of crazy to think about, but Selection Sunday is now less than a month away. That's coming on March 16th, which means Championship Week is coming. Rivalry Week is coming. March Madness is going to be here before you know it. And I'm telling you right now, I cannot wait. We will continue to get you ready to fill out those brackets in March Madness. Hey, next week on the Dose, I am actually chasing a guest. We'll see if we can run him down. But either way, we'll be keeping you up on all that is going on in the world of sports. And like I said, we'll be getting you ready for March Madness. And don't forget, NFL free agency begins already on March 12th. Yeah, that's coming quickly as well. So make sure you check out The Dose and make sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
It has been